Ooh, I love that song. Our reading today is actually a video excerpt of a 2017 interview with the author and activist. Friends, it is so good to be with you today. I'm grateful to Reverend Olivetti and to Beth McGregor for this invitation to join you. And I'm also grateful for you, the Unitarian Church of Sharon family. You've been a committed ally to UUSC over the years, from your support of the Guest at Your Table program to your own local social justice initiatives. Thank you for living out your UU values in this way. I'm also grateful to have this opportunity to take this holiday about love, love that is usually assumed to be romantic in nature, to talk to you about a different kind of love, a bigger love, the liberatory love that creates beloved community, the kind of love that allows us to stay in the struggle until everyone is welcome, everyone is whole, and everyone is free. Dr. Cornel West reminds us that justice is what love looks like in public, and justice is central to the beloved community we are trying to create. Justice, as conceived of in much of American society, is often thought of as something separate from us, an impartial system, perhaps, or an objective ideal that somehow resides outside of human bonds. In reality, though, relationship is at the core of justice. Justice is co-created between people and between communities. This means that justice is foundational to beloved community. Author Rachel Naomi Remen describes justice work as service. She writes, "Service is not the same as helping. Helping is based on inequality. It is not a relationship between equals. When you help, you use your own strength to help someone with less strength. It's a one-up, one-down relationship. And people feel this inequality. When we help, we may inadvertently take away more than we give, diminishing the person's sense of self-worth and self-esteem. Serving is also different from fixing. We fix broken pipes. We don't fix people. When I said about fixing another person, it's because I see them as broken. Fixing is a form of judgment that separates us from each other. It creates a distance. So fundamentally, helping, fixing, and serving are ways of seeing life. When you help, you see life as weak. When you fix, you see life as broken. And when you serve, you see life as whole. When we serve in this way, we understand this person's suffering is also my suffering, that their joy is also my joy. We may help or fix many things in our lives, but when we serve, we are always in service of wholeness." I love this phrase, being in service of wholeness. This idea is also found in the words of Australian Indigenous activist Lilla Watson when she says, "If you've come here to help me, you're wasting your time. But if you've come here because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together." When Black Lives Matter came about after the murder of Trayvon Martin in 2012, and then reached national prominence in 2014 after the murders of Michael Brown and Eric Garner, I heard a lot of people, mostly white people, asking questions like, who's in charge? Who speaks for them? The answer is there is no one leader, no one spokesperson in the movement for Black lives. Instead, the leadership is intentionally diffuse and organic, drawing on the wealth of experience and gifts that are inherent in the community itself. Far from diluting the power of the movement, this model of mutual support, affirmation, and strength and challenge strengthens it. The movement is creative and resilient, having the agility and flexibility to meet the needs of the moment when those needs are growing and changing daily. And these grassroots leadership models also provide a space for the moral imagination necessary today. As the Reverend Molly Hausch Gordon writes, "In many of today's justice movements, we see a deep commitment to the same approach, diffuse and networked leadership that is concerned far less with one key figure and far more with the uplift of scores of leaders. Mainstream narratives sometimes describe these movements as leaderless, but in truth, they are leaderful, bursting with leadership that is shared, developed, and nourished. This mutually supportive, grounded, morally grounded, and imaginative community-based leadership, exemplified for the movement by the Movement for Black Lives, is what activist and author Adrienne Marie Brown points to as the animating force and redemptive power of justice work today. It is the bedrock of beloved community, of life reaching toward life. The Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, or UUSC, is also a part of this journey, one that has shaped our work and shifted it from charity to justice, from depending on a few key leaders to centering grassroots partnerships and leaderful movements. Founded in 1940 in response to the rise of fascism in Europe, UUSC began as a mission by a Unitarian minister and his wife, Waitstill and Martha Sharp, who traveled to Prague in order to do what they could to get as many Jews and political dissidents being targeted by the Nazis to safety. As the war continued, they were forced to move frequently, but managed to distribute desperately needed food and supplies sent by Unitarians in the US, and even organized the first child safety transport trains, which became the model then used in Britain. As the years went on, the Unitarian Service Committee, which later became the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee, expanded its global work, sending aid to places around the world facing famine and disaster. Over time, however, our human rights work began to focus more on systemic justice issues. If you were to look at a timeline of all the work UUSC has engaged in the last 80 years, you see the words provided and supplied frequently used in the 1940s and 50s. In the 1960s, you start to see the word joined. UUSC joined in the desegregation campaign in Georgia, for instance. Then in the 1970s, you begin to see the beginnings of what we continue to do today. The most prominent word becomes partnered. Grassroots partnership, following the leadership of those affected by injustice, that injustice we're trying to address. This looked like getting clergy in El Salvador the resources they needed to publish their newsletters in the 1970s. It looked like bringing congressional delegations to Central America in the 1980s at the request of our partners, to see the devastation US foreign policy was causing in the region firsthand. It looked like funding and organizing convenings now for community activists from different parts of the world who are facing similar challenges so they can learn from one another and expand their own communities of support. And we're still on this journey, always seeking to learn more and do better, knowing that justice work is complex and evolving, and we must be flexible and humble in order to meet the challenges before us, even as we remain rooted in our Unitarian Universalist values. Today, our work focuses on climate force displacement, crisis response, and migrant justice. While these initiatives may seem unrelated at first glance, they are, at their core, all interconnected. These issues are about the right to security within our homes, the right to restore our homes when they're ravaged by natural or human-made disaster, and the right to seek new homes elsewhere. When I was at the Arizona border prior to the start of the pandemic on a UU College of Social Justice trip, I met with some of our UUSC partners in person. Many told us their stories of what they endured to come to the United States for the sake of their families and their own lives. What stood out to me over and over again was the imagination and commitment they needed, especially in the most dire of circumstances, to envision that another world was possible for them, another life. One man, Miguel, has spent his entire life on the border towns of Nogales, Arizona, and Sonora, Mexico. He's witnessed during the last 25 years, these towns go from being virtually indistinguishable from each other to having an enormous barrier of concrete, steel mesh, and barbed wire cut through his home like a wound. Miguel now gives tours of the barrier wall to visitors so that people who don't live in border towns can see what it is really like, from the armed guard towers to the families who gather for meals on a few gritty patches of bare earth on either side of the barrier to talk and share a meal. They cannot touch, but at least they can see each other. We also met a woman, Carolina, who walked from Honduras to Arizona to ask for asylum. As a trans woman, she fled her home in fear for her life after her father and then later her boyfriend tried to kill her. While her asylum case was pending, she was forced to stay in a U.S. immigration detention for 3 years. When she was finally granted asylum, this was before the previous administration eliminated gender-based violence as a basis for a claim to asylum, Carolina met several other trans women who were navigating the immigration system. Together, they formed a community called Casa Mariposa, which offers a safe place to stay and support for LGBTQI migrants in Tucson and nearby detention facilities. The work that Miguel and Carolina are doing, the work that all UUSC partner organizations are doing, began as acts of love, with the question, what does love look like here? What can I do to act in service of the wholeness we long for? And we are linked together in this justice work, friends, both because of our shared Unitarian Universalist values, but also by your support to UUSC. By being in solidarity with and sharing resources with our UUSC partners, you are saying yes to justice, yes to community, yes to that which affirms life. This is one of the countless ways we become the beloved community, even as we seek to create it. This is one of the beautiful mysteries of beloved community. It is something we become as we reach for it. The beloved community is both here and it's on its way. And it will never be fully realized, for even as we create a more just and loving world we dream of today, new people with new imaginative horizons will arrive, sharing with us visions of what radical love and radical welcome call us to next. And that too is liberation. That too is beloved community. We each have a role to play in its creation. Each of us bringing our broken, growing selves in service to wholeness. Recognizing that your liberation is bound up with mine, that no one is free until everyone is free. Beloved community is leaderful, joy-filled, imperfect, challenging, and flexible. It is life reaching toward life. May the love that gives your life meaning, be that the love of family, love of learning, love of the earth, love of justice, bolster and sustain you. And may you share that love extravagantly with people near and far as we continue to create beloved community together. Amen and blessed be.